Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Submission in a Christian marriage is all about you and your relationship to God. Any relational conflicts or disturbances in a Christian marriage usually stem from disobedience to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, because every time Christians are called to submit to some authority, we are in reality being asked to submit to God. Please open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 3 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 1 through 7.
To dress with modesty and to adorn yourself with a meek and quiet spirit is the very opposite of the attire and the speech of the unsaved woman in the book of Proverbs. Meek and quiet. The only other place in Scripture where those two words are used, they're used to describe who? Jesus, who said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek or lowly or quiet in heart. And you will find rest in your souls." To be meek and quiet doesn't mean that you become a doormat. Doesn't mean that in your marriage that you cannot express your opinions or thoughts. Because guys need help. I'll speak for your husband. We do need help. We do love your insight. It is very helpful. Very, very helpful. And then Peter uses Sarah as an example. It says that Sarah obeyed Abraham. She lived in subjection to him, calling him Lord. Now, it's interesting because there is not one place in Scripture where you actually see Sarah calling Abraham Lord. But the idea here is whenever you and I are talking about this principle of submission, just pick any area of submission. God says consistently that when he's talking about submission, in regards to any area of life, the number one enemy is self-rule. Selfishness. Do you think selfishness is typical of our nation? We are like, in the book of Judges, predominantly, every man is doing that which is right in his or her own eyes. They do not want to accept the final authority of Scripture. And look at the chaos. Look at the confusion. Look at the mess our nation is in, any nation is in, because they disregard the biblical principles of God. When it talked about Sarah submitting, she did it, notice, in the fear of God. She was not afraid with any amazement. Now, there's probably more reasons, but the reasons why Sarah and Abraham are a good example for Peter to use is Abraham and Sarah were both flawed people. How many of you know that, right? How many of you know that they weren't these plaster saints who never made any mistakes? Now, every marriage is a marriage of two flawed people. How many of you know that? People who make mistakes. People who from time to time, maybe not you, but the couple sitting next to you, people who from time to time get in the flesh. People who argue, who disagree. That's just the way it is. That's just life, right? It's just the way it is. And within the context of a Christian marriage, and we'll talk to this about this a little bit at the end, the bottom line is that you're going to humble yourself before God, and you're going to enthrone him in whatever that area of discussion or debate is all about. Now, Abraham was a godly man. He's the father of faith, but he was not a perfect man. Remember, God gave Abraham a promise. Sarah is going to have a baby. So two flawed people. Here's Abraham and Sarah. A couple things come to mind. Sarah was pretty attractive. Remember? Twice they were going to have these encounters with Egyptian kings. And as they're walking down the road, good old Abe says, "Sarah, when we have this encounter with this Egyptian king, if he asks you if you're married, say no. Tell him you are my sister. How many of you know it is not a good thing to ask your wife to lie or to lie to her? Two times this happened. Not once, twice. Now, you know what's interesting? Was Abimelech or the Egyptian king able to do anything to Sarah? No, you know why? She submitted to God and God had her back. Now, Sarah wasn't all of that in a bag of chips either. God gave Abraham a promise. Sarah's going to have a child. She wants a child. It was a reproach in that day. And so then Sarah says this, okay? Abe, just ain't happening. See Hagar? Yeah? Go sleep with her. So knucklehead Abraham says, sounds like a great idea. They have a baby. And you know what was the outcome of that act of disobedience? You're hearing about it on the news every night. See, that's what happens when you and I take matters into our own hands. It causes a war. It causes conflict. It causes chaos. It causes death. It causes pain. That's what God is saying here. When he says, thou shalt not, it doesn't mean I did not save you so that you could never have fun or enjoyment. This is what he's saying, thou shalt not. Don't do this. This is going to harm you. So, that's Sarah. And then in verse 7, men, likewise you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Likewise, there's a connecting word. So as Jesus submitted to the Father, as the wife is submit to the husband is to submit to God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, we read, submission in the marriage covenant is to be a mutual submission in the fear of God. In other words, husbands, submission or fearing God means that you and I will not be good grooms for our unsaved wives if we are not first submissive, a submissive bride to Jesus. You get that? Paul elaborated on the husband's responsibility to protect and care for his unsaved wife, just as Christ does the church. In the vast majority of time, meeting with couples for premarital counseling in this day and age, where there is so much nonsense and wokeism, you meet with a couple and, you know, we'll go through Ephesians chapter 5 and say, like, you know, you wives submit yourselves to your husband, and the eyes begin to roll. You just see it. Are you kidding me? Yeah? And then it talks about husbands loving their wife like Christ loved the church. And then I'll say to them as kindly as I can, would you rather submit or get crucified? You see, husbands, you know what we are called to do? We're called to die for our wives like Christ died for the church. That's it. And we are to dwell with them according to knowledge. A God-fearing husband doesn't merely share a house with his wife, who is like a roommate or a concubine. And let me say something here, okay? It's very, very acceptable in our culture and even within the church for people who are Christians to cohabitate thinking that it is right in the sight of God. It is not right in the sight of God. It is contrary to Scripture. You're living in sin. You're living in disobedience. And you can make that right. If you're serious about following Jesus, it's not acceptable. Whoremongers and adulterers and fornicators, God will judge. You can make that right. And if you're interested in talking about it, make an appointment with the secretary. Dwelling with your wife according to knowledge. The word knowledge or understanding. In other words, men, we have to be students of our wives. How many of you And I mean this in a good way. How many of you, after you got married, found out you got much more than you thought you were getting? I mean that in a good way. I go, this is my wife is a beautiful book. I'm thinking this is like a good mystery now. This is really, it's getting better as years get on. I go, I can't believe how wonderful, how great, how compassionate. I'm just blown away. Dwell with her according to knowledge. It's winter season, guys. Winter season. I love my wife dearly, but as soon as the temperature drops below 80, it's winter. You know what that means? RG&E. Okay. All right. Honey, get warm. You're warm. That's okay. That's all right, you know. Then you adjust them. Dwelling with according to knowledge. If they say something bothers them, you know what it means? Guys, it means it bothers them. Don't say, no, it doesn't. That's stupid. I like this. Why? She likes it. You get the idea? Do you really get the idea? Hear me? Yeah. You see, here's the thing. For both of us, here's the thing, husband and wife. God didn't put you together to change your husband or to change your wife. He put you together that with your husband or through your wife, God is going to change you. You see, because it's not about you. You get that, guys? It's not about you. You get that, girls? It's not about you. The only person under heaven that you are in a covenant with, other than Jesus Christ, is your spouse. That's it. And God brings you together to make you one. That takes a whole lifetime, doesn't it? Doesn't it? And it gets better and more beautiful. You just are, you're married to this amazing book. It really is good. Then you're to honor them, not to mean them. You're to esteem. The word honor speaks of a treasure. Your wife should be your treasure. Amen? Man, I got multiple treasure. I don't deserve this treasure. You know? Treasure. Honor them. You don't put them down. You don't mock them. You don't make fun of them. You honor them. Now, the weaker vessel. Now, here's where I always get in trouble. What does that mean? I'm not sure that I know what it means completely. I've seen my wife give birth to two children. And both times I said, I'm glad that was not me. Or we would have had one child. Okay? So weaker, it certainly isn't spiritual. Most of the commentators and the experts, so I'm going to use them as kind of like an excuse, would say that it's in the realm of physical. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Oh, yeah? Yeah? Big boy, Pastor Ray? Yeah? Let's go down to Agape Hall. I'll arm wrestle you after the service. No, that's not where. Listen, if you can't beat a 75-year-old man in arm wrestling, you are not making your point, right? But you probably can. But so, weaker vessel. Ladies, here's what I would say. Did you ever ask the Lord to show you what that means? It's one thing to protest what you think it means. Ask God to show you. What does this mean? It's important. What does it mean? He will show you what it means. He will reveal to you what it means. Okay. Notice heirs together of the grace of life. A godly husband realizes that his spouse is not only his wife, but she is also his sister in Jesus and joint heir in the kingdom of God. And if your spouse is not saved, these are instructions given to how you are to win your unsaved wife to Christ. Isn't it amazing? Now, having said that, Men, God clearly tells us that one of the reasons why a husband's prayers are not answered is connected with the way he is treating or mistreating his wife. That's what the Bible says. This isn't talking about husbands and wife praying together, and they should, but he's talking about my prayers, if I am grieving the Spirit of God in how I am positioning myself towards my bride, my prayer life is going to be zippo. It's getting quiet in here, but that's what the Bible says. Now, I'm assuming that the majority of the marriages here are both spouses who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me just make a couple of comments. If such instructions of Peter are given to Christians who are married to non-Christians, how much more should they apply to two people claiming to be Spirit-filled followers of Jesus Christ? How much more? Right? You agree? Hello? Okay. You see, God ordained marriage for humanity. And God ordained the order of marriage for all humanity. However it is being misused or abused is the sin of man. God ordained the covenant of marriage. He ordained the order. Just like there are laws of gravity. If you drop something out of a plane, is it going to fall? Why? It's a law. There are spiritual laws attached with submitting to authority. And they're all based on what? Faith in God. Because real, all of life is really a question of who is in ultimate control. Right? The Bible says not only this planet, but this whole universe is in the control of Jesus Christ. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, it says, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. How much do you have? None. How much do I have? None. How much does the devil have? None. He has all power. And it's a matter of, Lord, you are in control. I may not understand it. I may not even like it. I may not even feel it, but I believe it. And you are my Lord, and you are my God. That's why in a Christian marriage, when things happen, and things happen in Christian marriages, right? Don't they? Don't they? So when there are issues or problems within a Christian marriage, listen carefully. There is usually some area of disobedience to authority. Somewhere there's an absence of submission to God Almighty that is causing a fracture or a problem. And here's where God's truth comes in. Because when you entered into that covenant, you know who you made your pledge to first? You may not have known it. Lord, I'm pledging myself to you that with your help, I can care for this daughter of yours. Lord, I pledged myself to you that through me, I will be a helpmeet for this man. Because he needs help. You see, it's all back to God. And whenever, and I say this with fear and trembling, whenever there is a fracture, whenever there is a breakup, there has been some degree of lack of submission to God. But isn't it good to know that we have one to go to when things are not well? Aren't you glad? Husband, wife, you can go to the Lord. We're coming to you. It's not a matter of me winning, her losing, her winning, me losing, you glorified. That's it. That's the bottom line. Lord, you win. That's the outcome of every sticky situation. You win. You're glorified. You're exalted. Amen? That's it. In Ecclesiastes 4, we read, two are better than one because they have had a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has not another to help him. You know, there's so many precious saints who have lost spouses that they've been together with, and there's an emptiness, there's a loneliness there. You know, and they will tell you, any one of them will tell you, don't take your spouse for granted. They'll tell you. If two lie together, then they have heat. How can they be warm alone? Well, in this day and age, now they've come up with heating blankets. Well, just thought that you needed a little bit of lighten up. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know who that third cord is? It's Jesus Christ. When you are serious about the Lord, husband, wife, when you are serious about the Lord and you're serious in following him and you're allowing him to demonstrate his lordship in you and through you, storms are going to come, battles are going to come, but you know what? When you are honoring God, he will be the one who will strengthen you. He's right there. He's your rock. He's your refuge. He's your strength. And so the very strength of any Christian marriage is found in absolute surrender, first and foremost, to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I know that when I talk about this subject, oh, there's probably a number of hearts broken for one reason or another. This much I do know. Our God is the God who knows how to deal with a broken heart. You believe that? I might not know, your spouse might not know, your God knows how to deal with a broken heart. And if that's you today, for whatever reason, let him minister to you that healing balm of Gilead. One of the reasons why our nation is in the horrible condition it's in is because we have basically said to God, what you have to say about marriage means nothing to us. Look at what we're getting. This book and the God of this book is the only valid counselor in how a marriage can work. Right here. And you get his counsel for free. On your knees in this book. Amen? Amen. So I began the service intentionally by saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. How do you feel now? This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Right? Amen. Isn't it good to be under new management? Yes. Yes, under new management. Oh, praise God. No wonder he tells us to renew our minds. So many times the way I think and the way God thinks are contrary. And he's always right. You'll get it. Better to get it younger than when you're older, but you'll get it. However, the Lord used the word today to encourage you, to comfort you, to correct you, to realign you. You know what? When God pins you, you win. Don't fight with him. Flow with him. Bless the Lord,
oh my soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study his word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.